Hey Sens fans, welcome to episode number 5 of the New Era Sens podcast. Today you are joined by myself, Nick, our co-host Noah, and luckily we're joined by one of our two fantastic producers, Jacob Larivière. He's also on Sens Shot and he does produce articles on there, so you can check that out. Thank you for joining us, guys, and I just want to give a quick shout out to our new members here. At New Era Sens, we did add Nathan, Brandon, and Jack that are going to be producing articles for us on our website. So stay tuned for that, and let's get going for this episode, boys. How are you guys doing?
Good as always. Good as always, Nick.
Oh, I would expect nonetheless. It's been sort of a down week, I'd say. Not much going on, but we did get the retro reverse jerseys, so that's nice. I wanted to talk a little bit about that with you guys. So we'll do a quick, a quick top three of our favorite retro reverse jerseys. We probably all have different opinions, and most people do. So what do you think, Jacob? What's your top three?
So for me, in no particular order, the ones that stand out to me the most are the Colorado Avalanche, the New York Rangers, and for me, I might be biased, but the Ottawa Senators. I like the Senators because these jerseys have been in the works for the last 2 or so years. It hasn't been released to us till now, but they have been in the works for the last 2 years, according to an article I read somewhere. And it's been in the plans for NHL to use a 2D jersey, so I don't think they really stole from the new home jerseys. I really think they inspired from the originals. Like, you can see it in the logo and all that. It is the old jerseys, which I really like that about that. It screams reverse retro big time. And also, yeah. New York Ranger ones because of how eye-popping they are. I also like the Colorado Avalanche one because they pay homage to the Les Nordiques de Québec, and I really like that homage right there.
Yeah, you know, like the thing about these jerseys is that every fan has their favorite, and the best part is the majority of these fans that are loving these jerseys, their favorites aren't their team that they support the most. Like, as much as I think, I completely agree with you, Jacob, that the Sens jerseys are gorgeous, but in my opinion, I like the Capitals one the most.
Yeah.
That beautiful logo, the Capitals written on the band there with that old Ovechkin while he was on the back with the goal. Oh, that just brings back memories.
Oh yeah,
it's such a beautiful jersey, you know. And again, I gotta commend the Avalanche, the Nordiques logo with the beautiful, beautiful maroon color. Oh, that's a stunning jersey. And honestly, the Flyers for the last one for me, I love the cuts of black and orange, and I love how they've completely redone the colors on the original Lake Lindros jerseys. They're really gorgeous.
Yeah, I gotta give you that. The Flyers do look pretty sweet. I'm a big fan of the Flyers. They're not my second favorite team or anything, but I am a fan of them. So I do like their jerseys, but I have to give it to Washington as well, man. Those jerseys just blew my expectations. Like, when I first saw those, I thought they were so sweet. I'm not a fan of the lettering at the bottom like Buffalo has, but I think Capitals really made it work with their jerseys, and especially in those colors, it works really nice. But I have to say, guys, like, I'm not a huge fan of the Nordiques jersey. Like, for me, I just personally don't vibe with it. It's not something, you know, I'm not a fan of these teams bringing back logos from past teams that relocated or whatnot. I'm not a fan of the Whalers jerseys from Carolina. I understand it, but I just don't think it's right. Especially there's still fans out there, you know, that want those teams to come back. It's just like a big slap in the face for some people. So for me, not a huge fan, but my rankings would probably be number 1 Washington, number 2 LA, number 3, I'd probably have to go with Vancouver. I know that's sort of like a hot topic there. Like, a lot of people aren't fans of those, but for me, I thought the green meshes really well with the blue. I'm not a fan of the Orca logo or anything, but I still think they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, you know, to each their own. that's the best part about these jerseys, is that every fan has, like I said before, every fan has their own take on every jersey. And just about everyone has something for each fan. There, I don't think I've heard of a single NHL fan so far that's had something or has had nothing good to say about any of the jerseys.
Well, you know, maybe they're one exception, the Detroit jerseys.
No. I mean, yes, there are your bad couple, and the only two that I could really pick out that I was like severely disappointed with were the Islanders one, which was just a swap of the bands from their home jersey, and the Red Wings one, which looks like a practice jersey.
Yeah.
So, actually, it's funny. The other one that I was really disappointed with was the Jets jersey, and I really wanted that one to be a lot better. I wanted that steely, steely gray with the nice navy blue undertones. I thought that was just going to be an absolute steal of a jersey, but I just don't like how they've changed the colors on the original logo. I think they should have kept the original colors, and I don't know. It just feels off.
That logo is so sweet too, man.
It's a beautiful logo, man, when it's done right. But I don't like the extra blue and gray on it. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know which year these jerseys were for the Jets, but the ones where they're blue and they got the white going down their arms, sort of like what Toronto was doing with their reverse retro. But those jerseys with the Jets are so sweet. With that white logo, I thought for sure they were going to bring that back and make it somewhat, you know, the same, maybe a red or white version of it, kind of bold, but, you know, you never know. But sort of disappointed with that one as well. There's a few teams, like you said, the Islanders, I just don't understand it. I think a lot of people were upset with that. And they did release, I think, yesterday or the day before, some merch with the Islander. The fisherman logo on the backpack with Herschel. Yeah. Like, come on.
If you're gonna release merch of it, just make the damn jersey.
Yeah.
Just make it the fisherman logo. It's so hated that it's loved. Mm-hmm. Like it's like gritty. It's so hated that it's just loved.
Well, at this point, I think variety would have just been nice for the Islanders. For them, I think they just wanted something new. Like, this was nothing really changed, man. And I think that's what pisses them off so much.
Yeah, it's the thing with the Islanders jerseys, really. The Islanders jersey and the, I won't even say Detroit. The ones that really really upset me the most were just Islanders and, I guess, Detroit. But, like, the thing with Detroit is I find it's a really simple jersey. I wouldn't use it as a alternate jersey or as a reverse retro, but I could honestly see them use a variation of that as an away jersey. I like the gray tinge to it. Not for a reverse practice. Retro jersey. Yeah. Oh, not even. that exact jersey for practice. Yeah, but I like to see a gray away jersey. I might be weird when I say that, but
like a silver gray.
Yeah, exactly.
What I was really hoping for that jersey is I was really hoping that they would drive home the steely, like kind of like the Jets, that steely gray or silver. I mean, they have one band on the arm. That's it. I was hoping they would have something on the shoulders, maybe a little bit more like up the torso, like under the arms. I think that would have been cool. Like a bit of extra silver, maybe some silver stripes that go, like the original Montreal Canadiens stripes around the center through the logo. I think they could have hit it home with that steely silver. It would have been beautiful, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh well, there will be fans across the leagues that aren't too pleased with their jerseys. I know there's a lot of Sens fans that aren't the happiest with what we got, but at the same time, you know, I think it's perfect, and I do like the red logo making a comeback on the cape there. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. I think it's a totally different story once we see them on the ice, on the players all geared up. I think opinions might change, but definitely some outrage for some teams.
I'd love to just mention that I can't wait to see the hype videos that are going to come from every team as they show the old players with the old jerseys next to videos of their new players with the new jerseys. As much as you don't like the jersey of the Islanders, it's still going to be cool to see a side by side frame of Trache with Barzal, right? We're going to see a lot of the Crosby and Lemieux. And like all of these old comparisons.
There's a little video that came out today. I think it was today. It was Lemieux gearing up with that new reverse retro from Pittsburgh. Just wearing the jersey, and in the back you see all his trophy collection. That's a pretty nice little nod. I do like their jerseys, to be honest.
I will, if you let me add. I'm not very upset with the Pittsburgh jerseys, but Aldo, I will say of all the jerseys, the logos Pittsburgh has had, my favorite logo and jersey itself was the RoboCop jersey. And I feel, honestly, I would have really liked to see a variation of it. Like, I'm not upset by what they chose, but I feel there's a missed opportunity for that in there.
Mm.
And if you allow me to add to both the Sens jerseys, like I mentioned earlier, these jerseys have been planned since the last 2 years. 2 years ago, Tom Anselmi was still our CEO. He was still our president and all that. And back then, the plan was to go to the O logo. It was not the plan to go back to the 2D. 2D has only been in the mix for the last couple of months now. So I feel like that was a surprise on Adidas, and that's why they didn't really change up last second. That's what I feel, at least.
Anything could really be the reason. We might never know. I was just gonna say, boys, some teams are obviously not pleased. A lot of fans are pissed off with how their jerseys came out, but I think we should all be thankful. But another topic of discussion that gets some people heated is which GM or which coach, shall we see on the hot seat come next season? If there's a disappointed season again, maybe for the Leafs, that would probably be my guess. What happens with Dubas? At this point, is the onus on him or is it on the players? Because so many things have changed. And personally, looking at their situation and what Dubas' situation is as a GM, I just don't understand what else the guy could really do. I mean, he's trying to build around this core. It's obvious. Like, he's got these guys locked in. But at the same time, he's tried different things. And I think this is the year. It's a deal breaker season. If this doesn't go through if the Leafs don't advance past the first round again this year, I don't think the onus falls on Dubas. I think it falls on the players, and I think that we might see some big changes next year.
See, that's the thing. I will, if you allow me to start here, I think that Dubas is not in a hot seat at all. He's been done multiple great things for Toronto. That last offseason, if you will, for me, was his first offseason as a general manager. I know he's been general manager longer than that, but the last couple off seasons before, he was trying to change up the team with what Lou Lamoriello did, and he's finally had his team this year to do what he wants. He's brought in some really good pieces. He signed the big three guys. He also brought in John Tavares a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He also brought in TJ Brody. He brought in some really good guys. He moved some bad contracts, if you will, away, and he's made a lot of cap room. And he's done a great job, if you ask me. And the thing is with the Leafs, I think if they don't make it past the first round, sure, it'll suck for them. But I don't think it's the end of the world yet. I think that. I'm going to compare Toronto to Tampa Bay. They got a wicked, wicked team. Sure, they have their flaws. The defense might not be the best right now, but in the future, it'll be better. They've got some guys coming up. They got some new guys coming in, like TJ Brody and all that. Zach Bogosian, I think, signed there too. I could be wrong about that. And I think it's a transition. Not a transition year, but I think it's a step up. I don't think they're going to make the Cup Finals this year, but I do think that with a full year behind the bench for Sheldon Keefe, I think it's definitely going to be a lot better than it was last year. They're going to contend during regular season. I do think you're going to make it farther during the postseason, but I don't think you're going to make it exactly to the end yet. I think it needs a little bit more fine-tuning for me.
Yeah, I love what you said there about how this was the first year that Kyle Dubas has really had control of his team.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as, like, Lamoriello signed guys like Zaitsev and Fanuf. Like, he's the one that made those signings, and Dubas has had to dig the Leafs out of it. Actually,
no. It was Brian Berkey.
Oh, yeah, it was Berkey for Fanuf. Yeah. But my point still stands with... Clarkson was another one. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, some of these signings were just dreadful. And it's just been Dubas having to shovel the... lack of better words.
You think in a few years we'll look back at Dubas and his signings and we're going to be like, oh my God, maybe that's, you know, that didn't end up being a good deal in the end. Like, I look at the Tavares deal, they've got him strapped up for a big, big contract, man. Like, yes, he wanted to come to Toronto. It's very tempting. But can you imagine the Leafs and what they could do with that liquid cash without having Tavares at the moment? Maybe their team would be well more balanced. I don't know.
I think if Toronto, the thing about Toronto and Dubas is that I feel like his tenure there, he shouldn't have been hired to Toronto, because the moves that he wanted to make were very methodical. It seems like there were a couple moves that he made that were sort of forced by management, like Shanahan and management, and like the Tavares thing. I don't think that was Kyle Dubas trying to get Tavares in. I think Kyle Dubas knew that his team was going to be strapped for cash in the near future, and I think he would be smart enough to know that. He just seems like, if he were to be signed to a team that he didn't have the original cap restraints that he had to dig himself out of, which he then ended up panicking and signing a bunch of guys to a lot of term and a lot of money, I feel like most of a couple of his moves at least were panic moves because of it. And it somewhat has sewered his tenure. We'll see. That's a big if. Like Jacob said, this is going to be a big year for him to see how the team does, because this is really the first year of this is 100% his team. I mean, last year was pretty much his team, but like now he doesn't have Babcock anymore. This is his team. This is Dubas' team. He's brought in Sheldon Keefe as his guy. This is his chance, right? So... I don't know.
That's exactly why I don't see him on the hot seat, you know? Like, he's had great coaches. He's had great management. He's changed things. He's done things. He's made it, you know, better for what he possibly can do. And at the same time, Sheldon Keefe is a great coach. Very, very good coach. And if this team doesn't succeed, there's no chance you could put the blame on the coach. You can't. It does not come back to team management. It's on the players this year. And that's what I think, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
If you allow me to add, I don't want to spend too much on Kyle Dubas because we are a Sens podcast, but I'm a really, really big fan of Kyle Dubas. I know a lot of people who are not a big fan of him because he might be a little young or whatever, or he's not old school mentality or whatever the heck you want to shine him, but I'm a really big fan of him. He's done a lot. He's done a lot of great things. He bases his moves off of analytics and all. And the whole John Tavares thing, I will actually defend him for that, because before he acquired John Tavares, who was your second line center? Nazem Kadri. Not a bad player at all by any means. He's a great player, but his play didn't fit in for Toronto anymore. They moved on from him. And who else would have been? If John Tavares is in your second line center and it's not Nazem Kadri, Alex Kerfoot a second line center? I don't think so.
No,
really like that signing there. And I think that, sure, you could have traded for a guy.
Yeah, exactly. With the money that you use for Tavares, you could literally disperse that more, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, first of all, who are you going to bring it in? What are you going to pay him? Third of all, who's going to be the mentor for the team? Like, sure, you got your guys like now Joel Fortin, Jason Spezza. I can't remember his name. The guy from LA and Philly and all that. Forget his name off the top of my head. But him, you got those three guys, right? But before those guys, you really need a player to take over the captaincy. Like, Matthews is a great player. He's an amazing player. But I think Matthews should be just a player. Shouldn't have to deal with the media. Shouldn't have to be the face of the franchise. Shouldn't have to be the big voice in the locker room. Sure, you can do that. 2.0. But I think, exactly. I think that that Matthews flourishes better as just a player, not as a leadership role. And I think that bringing a guy like John Tavares is a great idea, leadership-wise, face-to-your franchise type-wise. Sure, team, media-wise, it's Toronto team. It's a big market Toronto team, and Matthews is the big star there. Let him be the star, not the leader. I think he is a better follower than he's a leader. Not a knock on Matthews at all. I just feel that Tavares is more suited for that captaincy.
Well, all right. The thing that for especially these signings, like you're saying, like I think the whole argument comes back to how Boston set up their team. Look at how Boston did it. They signed all of their guys to super cheap contracts. And that kind of comes back on Kyle Dubas because, well, Don Sweeney did it. He did it easily. He managed to sign Bergeron for 6.8. He signed, like, how much did Pastrnak get? He got only, six and a half, 6.6. Thank you, producer Jake. 6.6 million. That's cheap for one of the best players in the world. That's kind of where it's gone. It's because, like, Boston's been able to supplement their guys. They've been able to sign all their guys for cheap and supplement it with extra force that has, we've seen them knock Toronto out of the playoffs for the past couple of years.
Yeah. And that's
where that argument kind of goes.
Exactly. But I think the style of today's hockey, like for those teams, like people had to take a pay cut, right? So I don't know if we'll see that more. It really depends on a lot of things, but I think for the Sens, moving on, like we got a good deal on Shabbat, and if we can keep getting those good deals on some of the guys that we bring in, like Dadonov, great signing. If we can keep getting those deals done with, you know, terrific players that could actually come in and contribute, that is great. But real quick, I just wanted to mention the Stützle video that came out today on Twitter. It was about 30 minutes. It was about his preview on draft day. He was followed about for 24 hours with a camera crew that documented his day, his journey for that. We saw little things. It was nice to dive deep into, you know, his life and how he was preparing for that, meeting his family and seeing him around the teammates in Mannheim. I was really impressed, you know, gave you a better understanding and look of what type of guy he is personally, and I'd love to hear what you guys thought of that.
Well, if you allow me to start, I think that Tim Stützle, there was no long-term worry. Like, I knew we knew he was going to be a great player. He's going to be great things, and injuries do suck, but he is young enough that his injury is not going to put him away too much long-term, and he has been working as much as he can off ice since. Maybe the coaches just said that because if you're skating, you might fall and aggravate your arm more. Maybe that's why he wasn't skating until now. But he definitely hasn't been just lazing around. I think he's definitely been working, running, doing a lot of running, doing a lot of conditioning. Not upper body because you need your hands for that.
He did say he gained 6 to 7 kilos, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. He's been working. He's been working at it.
Yeah.
I'm a big Timmy Superstar fan.
Oh yeah, man! I think that was also very nice. You know, like he, as a person, he did understand that he was going at the top of the draft, and he did mention, you know, it'll be disappointing if I don't go at the top of the draft, because he has those expectations because he worked so hard, and he said it. I had a terrific season this year. I know I deserve to go up there, and I love a player who strives for the greatness, who strives to be the best, you know. And he knows he opted out from going to New Hampshire just to play against men with Mannheim, which I think is not an easy decision for a 17-year-old to make, especially, you know, living on his own. He did live in his own apartment and such. So I love the fact that they did mention, I think it was no risk, no fun or something like that. That's his little motto going on. So I was a huge fan of watching that. And I think, you know, seeing how his teammates complimented him and how they, you know, thought of Timmy as a person says a lot of which type of guy we're getting here in Ottawa, his character and what he brings. And I think we have a total winner here. Someone who really wants to succeed and win. And I think that that's great for the mindset of our team and all the young players coming in at the same time.
Listen, the thing that got me about this video was all of the praise that the team, the teammates and the family and everybody gave gave Ottawa. Even we had a couple teammates saying, you know, Ottawa's great, this, that. One of the funny ones was one of his teammates goes, remember, you're being paid in USD, but you live in Canada. Always remember that. Which was that was great. No, yeah. I love that. But we heard from Marion Stutzel, who is Timmy's mother, and she even said that from the beginning she was hoping it was Ottawa, and that kind of got me, that kind of got my brain going, because these guys are, these are just, this is a, just a family off in Germany, and they're hearing about little old Ottawa. Apparently they're hearing that this team is on the rise, and
hold on,
gonna be good.
Not Ottawa, Ottawa.
Ottawa. That's right.
Love the accent.
Yes.
Hey, Nick, if you're going to make fun of her accent, I'll make fun of yours.
Oh, dude, we know my accent is bad. It's, as a French Canadian, I'm not offended, but it's fine. Go back to your point here,
Noel. Be proud of it. Be proud of it.
Yeah, just teasing you.
All right. Well, yeah, I love that fact too, Noah, how they did say they're happy with Ottawa. Obviously, it must be disappointing for Timmy. I mean, he did, you know, want to be the first guy. He did want to be the second guy. So to go third, it must, you know, it does hurt you a little bit when you do have these expectations. But I think at the same time, he's super happy to come here, and for good reasons, obviously. And you know, he said he's happy that we're rebuilding, and he said that he's it's a great situation for him to succeed, and it's somewhere he can come and play right away. So I'm hopeful that he does play in Ottawa this season. We did see that he was named to the German World Junior team, so we'll see what happens with that. If they reach an agreement with Mannheim to release his him from his deal to come here, would be really cool. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Timmy, guys. What do you guys really think will happen with him? Is he in Ottawa this season?
See, if you let me add first, the thing of Timmy Stutzla is I'm glad you struck that there overall, because he's more of a either center or left wing. I think he's going to be more of a center in the NHL, but obviously he might start as a left winger. Although it does raise the question as if you were to be drafted second overall by the LA Kings, who has he got to compete with? He's got to compete with Gabe Vilardi, Alex Turcotte, also their current captain and face of the franchise, Andre Kopitar. I don't think he would have made it as a center in that team. And I think he flourishes more as a center, in my opinion. I've seen a lot of guys ranging their opinions. Like, I know Brandon Pillar from the Locked On Senators podcast sees him more as a left winger, and I got no problem with that. But I think as a center, he has more chances of being a face of the franchise. And in Ottawa, that's where he gets to be. In LA, he would have been a great player in LA. I think so. But I'm not sure if he would have fit in the system in LA more.
Well, look, you're getting Patrick Kane on the center wing. What would you rather? Like, but that's the thing, is that you don't know until you see it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna see him on the wing probably in training camp, and that's probably where, like you say, that's probably where they'll start him off. It's a lot easier to shelter players and kind of keep them under wraps for the first few games if they play on the wing, and they're not sort of in the spotlight and in the center of it all. But this kid's gonna seamlessly transition to it. He's got such an amazing skating ability, such an amazing, he's really great on defense. He's, you know, he's got unreal vision. Like, he's just going to seamlessly transition to center. I think he'll be a very, very good player for a long, long time.
And as as you said, you mentioned Patrick Kane. I just quick to point out, he did. His wife gave birth to his first child today, so congrats to Patty Kane.
Kane the third.
Oh, is it the third? My bad, man.
Kane the third. That's the new kid.
Name. Awesome, love that. But yeah, we got other guys. You know, you can compare to. If you go look at our prospects, you look at a guy like Ridley Greig. You can make the argument he's more of a Marchand type of player. We'll see what really comes of it. But speaking of Ridley, he did get sent home from the World Junior Selection Camp because he has COVID. His agent released a statement because of that. So that's unfortunate news. Do you guys hope to see Ridley make the team somehow? And do you think that's possible?
COVID is such a tender subject.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can really do. All you can do is seriously hope that it's not something long term. We've seen cases pop up here and there that have had lingering effects to an extent. And I think one of the guys one big name guy who was hit really, really hard by COVID was the Atlanta Braves third baseman, Freddie Freeman. He before the season started in Major League Baseball, he stated that he had gotten COVID and it hit him like a freight train.
Yeah.
So that's something that you just hope it's not that. Nobody gets hit with COVID like a freight train, but you don't want to see someone like Ridley Greig miss a lot of time for the Canadian selection camp, especially since it's the Canadian selection camp. It started yesterday.
Yeah.
And it will run until November 16th. I got all of those dates for you. So it'll run for till the 16th. And Ridley Greig isn't supposed to come back until December 3rd. That would be 2 weeks from yesterday, his diagnosis day. December 3rd still gives him about a week, 10 days roughly to get his selection camp on. But yeah.
So the thing with the COVID pandemic, it's very sensitive subject to talk about. I'm not going to talk too much about the virus itself, other than I wish him a speedy and great recovery. I want him nothing but the best, but I will comment more on the player itself. Someone earlier was mentioning that he could be a similar playing style to Brad Marchand. I don't think that far. I could see him more as a Jean-Gabriel Pageau type of player, where he is more of a, he can play anywhere in the lineup, ideally in the bottom six, third line role. He can play a checking forward role, or even a somewhat offensive role, like he played a bit Pageau played a bit last season. He played more of an offensive role. Exactly. I'd like to say that Greig is more of a Swiss Army knife for me. Great player. Not necessarily be an ideal first line guy, but in my opinion, is more of a third line who can play anywhere if you need him to, up and down the lineup.
The only caveat that I'd give on that is that Ridley Greig has top tier chirps. And from what I've heard, this guy is an absolute menace in the ice. Not only physically, but mentally. He gets under your skin. He gets under your nails. He's everywhere where you don't want him to be. And I think that alone will vault him to the Brad Marchand label of rat or pest or anything that he could be deemed.
And I think that's a great add too for such a young Sens team. You know, we've always had a few of those guys, I think, over the years, but to have a skilled player that's able to play that role. Obviously, we have Tkachuk right now, so adding a guy like Ridley, great stuff. I'm super excited to see that. But going back to the World Juniors, though, real quick.
Can I just add something really quick the World Juniors again? Think about who is when you think about Brad Marchand, who is the other guy, the first name that comes to your head when you think about Tom Wilson. Brad, who?
Tom Wilson.
Yeah. Not okay, Tom Wilson, but I'm thinking someone else. Someone that isn't exactly on the super physical side. I'm thinking Brady Tkachuk's brother, Matthew Tkachuk. We now have somebody who is under the mold of Matthew Tkachuk. We have the Tkachuk brothers. Yeah. They are the Bash brothers. That's what I loved about that pick, is that we got somebody in the mold of Tkachuk's brother.
Yeah.
Somebody that will absolutely chirp, who has pretty good offensive skills and can be a five-tool player, but isn't exactly, you know, a superstar at any one given trait. You know, but maybe besides chirping, he's a
jack of all trades, master of none, nor of all.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, let's go back to the World Juniors just real quick. So let's hope to see Ridley come back. We have a few other guys that we hope to see this World Juniors. Jake Sanderson, obviously. But speaking of Team Canada, today there was a video of Andre Tournier actually putting Kirby Dach and Dylan Cousins in their place because they showed up late to practice. We actually have a guest coming on soon after this, Cedric Andre, the goalie of the 67s. He has quite a connection with Andre Tourney, being coached by him for the last few years. So we'll talk to him about how it felt to play under Andre Tourney, and obviously, you know, seeing all this accountability from him on his players. I think it's great. I'm a huge fan of making the players, you know, own up to their mistakes and making sure that doesn't happen. And I think that that only makes them better. So we'll hear a little bit about that with Seti, and stay tuned because he's coming right up.
Before he comes on, though, I'd like to add in that how he was talking to his players. He was being very respectful. He was, from it seemed at least, he told them that what happened was not okay, but he wasn't necessarily mean about it. He said said something, what it looked like, said something like, stuff happens, but you have to learn from this. He wasn't just derogative and calling them names and all that. He made sure they learned from their mistake instead of just making fun of them, you know, and I really, really like that in the coach. It's something I'd honestly really like. I'm not too sure if he has an NHL coaching background at all, but it's something he's a guy I'd really like to be considered for an NHL job at some point in the future.
Yeah, no, I think so too. We look at his recent success, obviously leading a great 67s team. That's super neat, and the players love him. I think he's a great coach too, and you've seen some players, some coaches from the OHL make the jump to the AHL. Maybe that's gonna be the case for him, but I definitely think he's an AHL caliber coach. Obviously, you see it with the accountability, and he doesn't make them feel bad. He just, you know, lets them know, hey, this is what I expect from you. This is what we're gonna do. So just make sure to do it right the next time. And I love that. And We'll obviously hear that from Seti a little bit more. Without further ado, please welcome Cedric Andre from the 67s. Good to have you, Seti. I'm super happy to have you on this podcast. I was talking to the boys for a little while, try to get you on, and you know, if I looked at someone that I really wanted to get on this podcast, it was always you. So thank you for joining us, and I guess we'll just start. And how have you been in this pandemic, and how's your family, actually?
Pretty good. You know, thanks for having me. I got pretty excited when you texted me and you're like, jump on the podcast. I was like, nice, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. No,
it's yeah, 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 it's been a little bit. And obviously, yeah, you know, we go way back, I would say. We have a deep history right there. So
I was going to say, that's a good story. How did you guys meet?
Yeah, so I moved to Orleans. I used to live downtown Ottawa, but I moved to Orleans when I was in about sixth grade. I started hockey over there since I already played, and first year playing, Seti was one of our goalies that year, and I think we just stuck through it through the years. But yeah, I mean, back then you look at trying to make a friend. That guy was the one who would approach people. And I think for you, Seti, you were just the funniest guy I've ever met, and it was pretty easy to stay friends with you.
I thought it was the other way around, man. You were the funniest guy.
Yeah.
You in a room, man. It didn't stop laughing.
Oh, man. See, that's what I was telling you. I mean, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life with any other person. So yeah, I think some of my best memories are definitely with you, and obviously we've got close with your family too, and you guys were always there, and you know that's always nice to have a good family friend as well. Love your family, love you, bro, and I'm super happy to have you today, dude.
Yeah, man, love you too. I'm excited.
Oh yeah. So yeah. So how have you been training? Because obviously it's a different season this year. I think you mentioned to me that you guys were hoping to start in February, if I'm not mistaken. So, what are you doing?
So right now, it was a December start, but then they pushed it back with a February 4th start the season. So that's kind of a bummer, but you know, at least we got a set date to kind of look forward to and train to.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty good. You know, I never really, our trainer owns his own gym and his own equipment. So even during the pandemic, he had gear set up outside of his house. He brought squat racks and all kinds of weights and stuff. So the whole time I was pretty fortunate enough. I was training with some pro guys at his house. You know, we had a nice setup. We're always lifting. And then as soon as the arena's open, we're all jumped on the ice. But all around, it's just been basically a longer off season, you could say.
Yeah. Well, it's good to at least, you know, stay in shape and get ready for that new season. It's different this year, but I mean, who knows, dude? Training outside of you know, the rink might be beneficial in the long run, and who knows, it might be a good thing to be doing for this year. So who knows, man, and you know, good luck with that, and I hope you get on the ice real soon and keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've been skating. It's boring without games, man. You need games to come back.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much more fun. Having the compete level, getting to beat someone, winning.
Yeah, I think we all feel the same way too, because here we do a podcast for the Sens, right? And I think it's been like 8 months, you know, since we got to watch the team play. So I think a lot of people are just waiting on hockey to come back. You know, OHL's another thing as well that we're all hopeful to see, and we want to see you guys win this year as well. So we want it to come back just as much, I think.
Yeah, what do you, good, Branson's in Ottawa now, eh?
Yeah, big Ottawa guy, yeah, from the region here, so
yeah,
we've had a few guys over the years. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You're on.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can probably jump on if you guys want me to ask. In
podcast, why not?
I don't know.
Never say no.
We're not going to say no to that, for sure, man. Awesome.
Right on, Seti. So, you've been playing in the OHL for the past couple of years. And you've been playing on a pretty high-level team on the Ottawa 67s. I want to know what your take is going to be on this new system that the OHL is going with, where body contact doesn't seem like it's going to be a main feature.
Yeah, honestly, hopefully there's contact. I mean, most guys are still hoping on the team, but from what I've been hearing, no one's really sure. You know, the Ontario government saying no. But then one of my buddies said, Doug Ford said otherwise on Twitter. But, like, you honestly have no idea. And it's going to be different hockey. You know, I know some D and some guys are definitely going to probably lose their spot because hitting's a big part of their game. And it'll be tough for people to adjust. You know, I'm sure some people are going to take advantage of it too, like fast, speedy forwards.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to burn guys. They're probably going to kill it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be hard, you know, playing without contact. Like, what is it going to be, a penalty shot or a penalty?
Yeah,
it's going to be a weird game. And I think right now we're all just taking it step by step, figure out what's actually going to happen. And once February hits, we'll figure it out and just kind of fingers crossed and actually still hoping for a season.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it might affect the goalies just as much having no contact. If you know, if you're rewarded with a penalty shot, well, that's obviously not ideal for some goalies to face all the time. And you know that we might see some very different play styles this year and how the games are carried through. But I just want to ask you, Seti, because Noah did mention that you were part of a very good team. We've seen you go pretty far. You know, in the playoffs and in the standings throughout the years, and that must be incredible to be a part of that. And I just want to ask you, you know, what it means to you to be on a successful team like Ottawa, and being an Ottawa kid, being able to play for your hometown. I mean, how does that, you know, how do you feel about that?
No, I've been fortunate enough. You know, I was I actually signed when it was the other management, Jeff Brown and the other guys, but then my first year on the team, everything switched, new management, new coaching, the entire program basically did a flop from what it was before, you know, everything changed. And honestly, it's thanks to them why we have such a good team. They, the way they run the program or coaches, it's ridiculous. You know, it's awesome. Yeah. We have video every morning. We changed our entire schedule. We used to practice after school, but now we practice in the morning. Mm. So we're fresh in the morning. We're at the rink for like 7. They work hard. And honestly, yeah, it's been awesome to play on a good team, but it's definitely because of the coaches and management. Everything, they switched the entire program around, and
yeah,
you know, they got the team also when the rebuild was done. So our players were good. I just got in Ottawa at the right time, and I've been fortunate to play on like teams that broke the franchise record like 2 years in a row for points.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I was going to say, because you did give credit to management and coaching, and obviously, you know, a big part of your team is Andre Tournier, and, you know, he's often coaching at the World Juniors right now. You know, how does it feel to play with a guy, you know, who probably has a chance to be an NHL coach one day, and well-respected, I think, for a lot of his players, and, you know, to see him coach such a high compete team here in Ottawa is very rewarding, because we have had very good coaches here, coach the 67s, but you know, the latest guy is definitely Andre Tourney. So how is it like to play under him, and you know, what did you learn from him?
Oh, he's probably like the hardest working coach I've ever seen. Even when I stop by on the rink in the summer, he's always there in his office. Sometimes I don't even know what he's working on, but it always seems like he has something to do, something to work on. He's always on his laptop scouting, doing video. There's not a guy that likes hockey more than him. You know, he's on top of it. He loves to compete. And he used to be a NHL coach. So, you know, we're lucky. It's not often in the OHL you can say you have a program that's run like a National League program.
Yeah.
So to have that NHL factor in Ottawa is definitely what's helping out our team. He runs our team like probably even one of the better organization in the NHL. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool to have like that kind of experience. And even NHL teams know, you know, when they talk to us, they're like, you guys are lucky here in Ottawa. You guys get the best stuff with Andre. And I think we guys kind of, he's on top of everything. He's
that's awesome, dude. Well, that's good to hear for sure.
For sure. So as stated earlier, you've been playing in the OHL for couple of years now. This is you've just finished your third season, I believe. You've been playing with and against some pretty high level players, some of which have been on your team in this past year, with Jack Quinn and Marco Rossi. So can you talk a little bit about the experience of playing with some of the premier players from this past draft?
Mm-hmm. Marco and Jack, both elite guys, and Graham Clark, he was drafted the year before. But
Graham Clark, yeah, for sure. I went to school with Graham Clark.
You went to school?
Bell's Corners. I don't know if he'd remember me, but
no, all three of those guys. He probably does. Definitely does. Graham, nice little guy.
Oh yeah, I always remembered him being a really nice guy.
Awesome. He's, those guys. They're all different. They all kind of play their own way, but they're all like Graham. It's all in the shot. Marco, all around player. I wouldn't be surprised if he thinks he can play in the NHL next year, and he's probably going to make a push for it. You know, I think he has a good chance. And Jack too, you know, he's an Ottawa guy. So I skate with him a lot during the summer, and he's actually gone at the World Junior Camp right now. So It's pretty exciting for him to get that chance. And especially playing with Andre Tourney as the coach,
I think he's going to get,
yeah, he's got a good chance. He knows the systems. He knows everything. And I think he's going to really prove that he's an 8th overall pick over there, and he'll be dialed in for that. And I don't know. Like, the players I've been lucky enough to play, there's a lot of good players, like Sasha Chmielewski. But I think those three are definitely the best. Graham, Marco, and Jack. It's pretty wild when I think about it. Just humble days with the grads, and now I'm playing with these guys who are going to play in the show. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, we started off in the grads, you know, and I think there was no doubt when we reached a certain point throughout the years, all the guys, you know, seeing you go off and with your progress and doing so well in the Junior A League, we had no doubt that you were going to get picked up by an OHL team. And you know what, dude, having you be from Ottawa and playing for your hometown, it's awesome for us too, because I know I've been to watch a few of your games. It's always nice. And, you know, your parents, you know, they hooked me up with a few seats that one time. So thankful for that. Not yeah, saying, you know.
I can actually have friends come and see me because I play.
Yeah. It's actually so yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's super cool.
You get to be the hometown kid, you know, everyone likes you.
That's awesome.
It's so fun playing at home. You know, I used to be the little chunky kid that would take his shirt off at the 67 team, you know, spin it around and score. That's totally me.
Yeah. That was us at one point, you know. We've been there and
take the shirts off, we'd spin them off on a goal. Uh-huh. Oh my god.
It's just crazy to think that at this point in your life, you know, you went from being that kid in the stands cheering super hard and you know, watching these goalies before you and, you know, not knowing back then that that's going to be you one day. And I think, you know, that just goes to say for a lot of young goalies or a lot of young players, you know, you never know until you put the work in and you get there and you work to try to make it. And I think for you, Seti, you proved us that you belong there, and we had no doubt that you were going to make it. And just to be friends with you and knowing that you're doing this and that's what you're doing with your career. Super happy for you, bud. And you know what? I'll keep coming to games if we're allowed this year, and cheer you on as always, dude.
Hopefully we're allowed, man. Always love to see you at the games. I always see you out there. I'm like, yes, that's my guy.
No. Yeah. All right. Hey, Noah, do you have any last questions you want to ask Seti before he goes?
I just wanted to get a little bit of feel for kind of the how tight knit the OHL is. I'm not super well immersed into this kind of thing, but I'd want to know kind of how intertwined would you be with somebody from another OHL squad. So in a sense, how well would you know someone like Quinton Byfield? Or Shane Wright from Kingston?
You see, I feel like it all depends if you've met them before or not. Like when I went to Carolina camp, I was there with like Jameson Rees and like Suzuki and stuff like that. So like now I'm close with them kind of thing because all the OHL guys kind of stick together over there. You know what I mean? Because you kind of know each other. You're kind of like from the same league. You've seen each other play, right?
Yeah.
And also like Canada-Russia series, you know, I meet the guys over there and you talk to them and you're kind of... But until then, you know, like, I don't really know as many guys in the league. I think it's very tight-knit for the guys that come from the Toronto area.
Yeah.
Because they all play against each other growing up in the GTHL. They all, like, basically know each other. And the same thing with the Ottawa area. The Ottawa area is, like, really tight-knit because there was, like, five teams growing up, Wild, Cyclones, and, like, Titans. So you basically know everyone who plays a high-level hockey in Ottawa. So, like, I'll always talk to the guys from Ottawa and other teams in the OHL because you just kind of... You know each other because you skate with each other in the summer. So I think for me, that's more of a thing. I think tight-knit in Ottawa, and if you've like, you're the only OHL guys away at like a camp or something else or.
Yeah, and it's cool that you say that, dude, because if you look at, you know, the 67s themselves, like they've had quite a few players from the region here. Like you've played with Sam Bitten, you know, Graham Clark, you've played with, you know, Merrick Rippon even. That's another one of my buddies I grew up with as a kid. But, you know, just to say that there's a lot of kids, you know, from the Ottawa region here that played for the 67. So that must have helped with some familiarity because you did play against those guys or you have played with. Like Rippon, I think you played with in Junior A, right?
Before you headed off here.
Yeah, so that must help as well. And like you said.
Yeah, they like to draft like local kids here in Ottawa. I don't know. I think it's kind of a thing because I guess they get to scout them more. They really get to see what players they like. Like even Jack Quinn, he played in the Ottawa area. So,
and it just goes to say too that our Junior A league here in Ottawa is one of the best in the country, right? So, some players that you know play in that league, they either go off in the NCAA or whatnot, or they go play in the OHL. So there is a lot of talent here in the Ottawa region, which is obviously it's obvious since all the players that you know got picked up by big teams. So that's nice, and it's nice to see you play with other boys from the city as well, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun. You know, it makes it more fun for the players too, right? Because you represent your hometown when you play. So I know guys from Ottawa love to play for Ottawa because it's just. It's a little more special than playing just for another team in the OHL.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to ask one quick question before you go. Obviously, I know you played, you went to the Carolina camp, which is great for you. But this is more of a question about where your favorite place was to play in the OHL, away games wise. Where did you really enjoy to play?
I really enjoyed playing. This is, I guarantee anyone you ask, they all have the same answer. It's probably the Budweiser Gardens in London. I mean, I think every player is basically going to answer that, because unless they've had a bad experience there, bad game, get killed, you know what happens. But no, they always get over capacity for the fans. You know, they fill 10,000 and they always have like 10,900 or 11,000. So
wow,
the atmosphere in there every game is wild. And it's,
London's always kind of been like the Lakers of the OHL. Of like, yeah, they win the championships. They fill the tank, you know.
Exactly. But with their new management, I think we're kind of pushing to become like the London of the East. You know, we're doing mm-hmm. things differently. We're doing it like them.
Absolutely.
We're, you know, finishing first 2 years in a row, and then we're probably gonna have another good season this year to push for another championship. So we're kind of becoming the London of the East here in Ottawa, which is pretty cool.
It's very exciting to see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
A good one. Kitch is a good barn too.
And how cool that you got to be part of the beginning of it.
I know, it's pretty wild. You know, I was kind of like the beginning of a new era in Ottawa.
That's it. Yeah,
That's what everyone talks about. They're like, it all changed then. And I'm like, pretty wild that I was there the whole time. And even the odds of guys getting traded and that I got to play my entire, I won't jinx it. Yeah, I got one more year to go. So, but the fact that I've been like this long in Ottawa without getting dealt and actually playing in my hometown and starting games as a goalie, it's if you would have told me this 6 years ago, I would have said there's not a chance, buddy. You're dreaming.
So, yeah, well, you're definitely. I think you're living the dream that for a lot of guys, I think all have that dream of doing exactly what you got to do, and you're extremely lucky, dude. And I don't think you take it for granted either. So you're obviously aware that you were able to live that dream, and I think as a young kid, that's you know, some things people aspire to do. So I think, you know, there's hope for a lot of kids here in the Ottawa region to, you know, really make it and do something with their hockey career. You know, we didn't play the highest level for some time in USETI. We were on, best team, right? So, I mean,
I don't think I ever played like the highest level until minor midget or major band.
Yeah, exactly.
I always like rep or like double A, and we always played it was fun. And then finally 1 year, I think someone got injured, so I cracked the lineup. I'm like, let's go.
That's all it takes sometimes.
Yeah, that's all it takes. Well, hey, listen, Seti, I was super happy to have you, and it was fun to talk again. And, you know, we'll make sure to grab a beer or something sometime soon. We all hope that the virus doesn't really limit you guys this year for the 67s, and we all hope to see some success. I think we definitely want to see Memorial Cup come back in Ottawa. So if you can make that happen, we'd all be happy.
Mem Cup come back to Ottawa.
It was
back this year. It was supposed to come back.
It was supposed to.
Man. We all waited on that.
It would have.
And who was it? It was in Kelowna too. Oh, that would have been a nice little vacation.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, you never know. It might come this year. So best of luck with that, dude. And I hope you keep training hard. And we'll catch up, dude. Thank you for having,
Thanks for having me, guys.
For sure.
Yeah. Hope to have you on again soon.
For sure.
It was good talking to you guys. Hope to see you soon. Yeah.
Okay. Take care, Seti.
Okay. Bye. See ya.
I just want to thank all our listeners. You can find us at New Era Sense Pod on Twitter for our podcast page, and New Era Sense for our main page on Twitter. There's also our website where we will be releasing articles again this week. So stay tuned for that. And we thank you for joining us this week, and we'll be back next week for you guys.